Hello, my name is Brent Dundor. I'm a full-time commercial photographer, artist, and activist, and the proud producer of the They Them Project. They Them Project interviews non-binary individuals, offering a platform for them to be seen and heard while informing and educating everyone on how words and actions affect the trans plus community.
Well, thank you for being here, Quinn. I think that you have some questions for me, and I'm gonna make that into a second part to this interview that people can listen to as well. But I'm gonna have you introduce what that pertains to and what that is.
Yeah, okay, so I write for a magazine and blogs and nonprofit things and websites. So I fell in love with this project, and I think it's so important for other people to hear. So I just have a few questions for you. So like I said before, I've low-key stalked you, so I know a lot of information about you. So these questions can get a little personal, so if you don't want to answer, that's totally fine too.
Cool.
So as someone who identifies as a bisexual male, how has this made you view gender differently, not only in relation to other people, but to yourself as well?
In one of the interviews recently, someone asked me, they were like, they said, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, yeah. And the question, it was great towards the project, as in addition to just having a conversation about it, but they just said, so what has this project taught you about your gender? And ultimately, I think that's what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
I have challenged the idea of gender for myself just by looking or thinking about examples through my life where I've realized that an idea of hyper masculinity, the fact that I have like a hairy chest, to me, it's never been something that I've appreciated about my body. So this idea of being hyper-masculine or being more masculine, I've absolutely, for sure, my whole life, I've never appreciated about myself. The idea of what you feel with gender dysphoria, it's like this like tiny percentage of what I might feel about the idea of, well, people want to define me as a masculine man. And I've never been comfortable with that.
So have you started to identify differently, or do you still identify the same then?
I use he, him, his pronouns, and that feels right for me. But if someone wants to, with the idea that I use he, him, his pronouns, if someone were to say, well, you're totally, I'm just going to keep saying masculine. If they were to say that there's certain characteristics about myself, whether it's physical or anything else, that makes me more of a man, I've never liked that. So I've understood that the idea of gender is something that I've never wanted to be. I've never appreciated, I've never been attracted to the idea of being hyper-masculine.
No, I think that's really wonderful to be questioning that. Even, I think that's also not talked about, is that you don't have to be completely masculine. You can still have some feminine characteristics and still identify as male, but not be completely okay with being hyper-masculine. I think that's really great.
I want to ask you a question. So, do you think it's relevant? Do you think I should include what you are asking me in the They Them Project? Do you think that asking me these questions is important for people to think about gender?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because what I've always put a lot of effort into with the project is to make sure that it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that I'm asking these questions to learn, but I want people to put themselves in my perspective. And that's what the goal is, to teach, to educate, for people to understand things better. But I never want the project to emphasize just me, unless it's just about my photography.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's so important because this highlights a lot about gender and not, I mean, you talk a lot about like non-binary gender, which is great. But also now we're starting to question more specifically cisgendered genders. So male or female. And that doesn't, you can still identify as cisgender and not be completely just like hyper masculine. You can still have these feminine traits and still identify as masculine. I think that's important because not a lot of people totally understand. I think there's a lot of pressure in society to like be super masculine and work out all the time and go hang out with your bros and stuff, which is nice. But I think it also, you know, it takes away from the more feminine features. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're non-binary, and I don't think that's a bad thing either. But I think we need to start accepting both parts of us, whether that's a female having more masculine traits or a man having more female traits. So second question. So you've been doing this project for a while now. How have the people that you've had these conversations with helped you see the queer community different, if at all, to be honest?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question, it actually goes back to drag.
Yeah.
Because there was one evening, and I think I've talked about this in certain interviews, there was one evening that my uncle, my cousin, and myself, we were coming back from a play, and we stopped at Lush. And I think it was a Thursday?
Yeah, Drag Evolution.
And I used to go to Lush probably 3 or 4 times a week. Like, I used to go, it wouldn't be rare for me to go there 4 times a week at one point. And Lush was always a place that I felt the most comfortable being myself at for reasons away from gender. Like, I really appreciated Lush for what it was, what it's always been. But that night that I went there, and what's the night called? Drag Revolution?
Drag Evolution.
Drag Evolution.
Yeah.
I walked in and I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
With everything that I have challenged with this project and more like have thought about, when I went into Lush and there were people that were walking by that were doing exactly what we were talking about before, they were expressing gender. And in some ways, it was a complete challenge to the idea of, you can't say what they are. They are doing drag. They are being themselves. They're performing. And I was smiling the entire time I was there. I think that it is just like you were saying. It's absolutely beautiful. So I guess in general, I've grown an even more appreciation. For me, it's just I've grown to even more appreciate the idea that people are different and the idea that that's a beautiful thing.
So there's a 2-part process to your project. There's the photo and the conversation/questions. Why are asking these questions important to someone who identifies on the gender spectrum? So identifying as either specifically cisgendered. Why did you add the interview/questions? Why didn't you just keep it photography? Because you're really known for doing photography. Why do you think it was so important to add these conversations?
So there's a very long version answer to that, which people can they can listen to certain podcasts and interviews that I've had through magazines, and all of this exists on the website. So if someone wants to hear the really long version of that, they can do that.
Yeah.
And I'm always ready to share the long version, but sometimes it's better to give a shorter one. The shorter one is just, I realized that I had to challenge gender and educate myself. I had to challenge the idea of gender and educate myself. So it didn't matter to me that I was, back then I literally didn't know that I was cisgender.
Right.
So I wasn't trying to think of it as a cisgender person doing the project. It was me. It started out as me challenging it for myself. So that's when I started the photo project. And then I realized quickly that the questions that I was asking, literally just for me trying to understand someone who is non-binary, are the exact same questions that other people have. and the answers that they need to hear. So I just threw a camera down and then I started recording those questions. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see. Okay, so as we know, gender is the spectrum. How has this changed the way you see gender on a day-to-day basis? And has this changed the way that you view your own gender identity? I guess we've already talked about the second part, but how do you see gender on a day-to-day basis now?
I definitely see gender differently. I go into situations with a much bigger open mind, but I always try to be very honest in this project, and I think that's something I could still challenge myself to do is to, it's literally to challenge myself to ask people, even when I might have assumptions of what gender they would prefer, to ask them what gender they, what pronouns they use.
Yeah.
So again, I think that answers your question. That, yeah. This project has opened my mind more than I ever thought possible, more than I ever thought, like, even had the concept of what could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still even a lot more for me personally to learn. There's always something for people to learn because it's constantly adapting, and ultimately every single person is different. And that's the other concept of this project.
Yeah.
That you can't, yeah, like, learning to use they, them pronouns is not a full understanding of gender. Like, it takes more than that to respect somebody.
Absolutely. What's the one thing that you would want people to take away from this project? If they only saw your photos, what is the one thing that, and they saw the title, what is the one thing that you would want them to take away from this project?
Well, I'm going to answer, we're going to first speak on, like, the literal question you're asking me is if they only saw the photos.
Okay.
If someone is only seeing the photos, the one thing that I would want them to take away from that is the fact that they haven't learned anything. They are challenging their idea, but they are not learning what I'm trying to put forth to, like, into the universe. This library of interviews, it exists for people to take the time to understand gender better, to understand these people as individuals. And that's what opens up, that's what opened up my mind to the idea of gender. I took the time to ask these questions. I took the time to listen to the answers. It's exactly what everyone has to do. And that's something that, like, that is my challenge right now with this project. And I'm like, I've tried hundreds of ways, like in here in my studio, I'm constantly changing this project up because my goal with this is not to just have people look at the pictures. I can take pictures of anything, and I can have different reasons of photographing people. But the pictures exist so that this comes together as a project so that people can understand that there's a whole existence, a whole library of information to this that exists on the website. So I mean, maybe you would want to ask the question differently, but, like, if you're asking me literally if someone only saw the photographs, what do I want them to take from it? It's that I want them to go to theythemproject.org. Like, it doesn't get any more simple than that, because if you're not going to the website and you're not taking the time to understand or to look at each, like, the fact that this is a project, there's a lot of people that exist in this and it's going to keep growing. If you're not taking the time to understand that, then you're missing it. You're missing the goal of this.
Right, absolutely.
If people were to listen to, if there was a way that they could listen to all of the project in 2 minutes, what I would want them to take from that is the idea that it should never be wrong to ask someone their pronouns. And usually people are afraid to do that. I've already admitted that, like, I could do a better job with that still.
Yeah.
People are, in general, the general population would be afraid to ask someone what pronouns they use. But for the people who you might be questioning what pronouns they use, that question is magic to them. It's like, it is it is the biggest sign of respect that you can give them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so because of your project, I actually created a website. So, it has to do with people who identify mostly as outside the binary and, also transgender, but mostly for people who identify outside the binary. So my website shows, resources, let's see, places that you can go, just like really anything, free services, healthcare, lawyers, literally anything and everything, events, kid-friendly events, family events, events for college people. So what I've noticed in the queer community is that while we do say that we're really open to everybody, there's still this huge binary of male and female. And like, while we are starting to finally understand, or people wanting to understand and educate themselves is on this whole non-binary, genderqueer area, which is nice. However, there's still not a lot of space in the queer community. Have you ever noticed that being out and about now doing your project? Have you taken time to see that outside in your day-to-day life and recognizing that there are spaces that while you're doing this project and you are educating people, that there's just not... it still hasn't changed.
Another thing that I have learned through this project is the value that exists when you stick up for someone. When you tell, if you're in a group and someone misgenders somebody, when you say to that group, that's not their pronouns, that's not their gender, when you actually stick up for somebody, that means the world to people as well. So I haven't been in that instance. I can't think of an example with that too, but that example exists in one of the podcasts that Twin Cities Pride podcast did, where even when people were here to do that podcast and being interviewed, there was someone in the room who did not accept they, them pronouns, previously did, but now only uses she, her pronouns. And when everyone was saying, oh, so everyone here uses they, them pronouns, I should have been like, oh, well, actually,
yeah,
there's somebody that isn't, and I introduced them at with the pronouns that they use. So I guess that example touches on the question you just had and kind of generally everything that I've learned from the project, too.
Yeah, so like doing research of my own, I've noticed that there's a lot of doing research, there's a lot of events that are catered specifically in the queer community to only male events. Like there's shower night at the saloon and they only really want male identified people going in, or, you know, there's just very, or there's Girl Scouts, which is basically an event geared towards people who identify more as female. And as someone who identifies as non-binary, it's really been hard to feel comfortable in those situations. So I've looked through a lot of spaces and have asked people, like, what in regards to people who are genderqueer, like, what spaces feel safe? Have you ever noticed that now through your project, that like realizing how you see space differently in the queer community and seeing that how that has made you question different spaces and how people take up space?
You know, I have to be really honest that like I said that I used to go to Lush all the time, and that in my opinion made me more part of the queer community. But now in like the last 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
I'm just a boring married person at home. So like I can't say that literally the queer community, at least in terms of being out and about at night or at bars or clubs or whatever, I can't really speak on that except for the good example of Lush.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think if there's any way for me to answer that, really.
Or, like, I know there's, like, leather events. There's, like, I don't know. There's, like,
I think I saw through Facebook that a person who's part of this project and also a huge part of the queer community, Rox, I think that they were actually labeled Minneapolis leather.
Yeah. It's, like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know the title, though.
Yeah. And it might be the label of man or which I again, just the little bit of stalking that I do on people on Facebook, like, that's a big deal. Again, when we're talking about Minnesota and the idea that that you would expect things to not be challenged as much here,
yeah,
the fact that that's happening is so cool.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Yeah. I think language is so important, which is why when I write things, you know, I really have to think about it, because I feel like people say something, and whether they know that consciously or subconsciously, it just matters a lot. So what I've noticed, though, is that when people talk, specifically people who identify as non-binary, they say that they feel uncomfortable taking up space, like they almost have to, justify being in a space for people who identify a certain way. Have you ever noticed that when you're out and about? I don't know if you have. Well, you do, probably. You do. Have you ever noticed that with people who identify outside of the binary, that the uncomfortableness, and like, have you ever had to do anything about that, or have you, what have you done in those situations?
I think that kind of touches on the podcast interview that happened here as the group, and what I could have done for that person. Another example is when the opening was happening for the project at Lush. I said going into that, I probably said it 10 or 15 times to people, like, I did not care that night if someone came up to me and said the pictures were pretty. I did not care about that at all.
Yeah.
What I wanted was to see kids there, to see youth there, to see people who are appreciating what this project actually is meant to say. And that night, there was at least two or three people who I would label as youth who came up to me, and you could tell that was their magic night. Like, that was, it was not heaven to them, but it was something that they never expected could exist. And that meant, like, I could get emotional really describing it.
Yeah.
That meant a lot to me, because that's why I'm doing the project.
Yeah. No, actually, that night was so important to me. So I had messaged you through Facebook, but I'll just restate this. So I had had that tough conversation with my parents, and that was the night that they were like, I am never going to basically truly accept who you identify as and who you are as a person. And that really hit home hard. That was, like, the hardest thing that I heard, and I just, like, had to end up, like, hanging up on my mother, and she was, like, really frustrated. She'd, like, never do that to me again. And it was just really this moment of, like, just, like, my heart got ripped out of someone who was supposed to be there for me and support me, and just really could never do that for me. So, like, I remembered I was, like, wasn't going to go out that night because I felt like shit. And I was like, nope, not dealing with any of this. And then I remembered that, the event popped up. And I was like, there's an hour before, you know, like, this event is supposed to happen. And so I was like, fuck it. I'm going to get out of bed and just go. We'll see how it goes. And it was in that moment when I stepped in the room and I realized what it really transformed Lush, because for me, I have never been in a space with that many people who either supported or identified the same way as I did. And being genderqueer and using they and them pronouns, it was like this emotional experience. It was like I was finally somewhere where, like, I didn't ever, ever have to, like justify that the space was in like also included me. And I think that what you did was so important, not only for me, but for other people to show that there was this huge support in our community, because it's not shown very often. And I think that that's what's so important about your project, is that it brings a special type of community together. And I think we need to see that more often, and the light needs to be shown on that. And I think it's so important.
Well, thank you for sharing that for yourself.
Yeah.
And for towards me, for the project. That it's exactly what I wanted for that night to be. And it was even better than I hoped. I mean, Philippe touched on it. Councilman Cunningham touched on it. In my opinion, magically as well, that he, and I don't need to share that full story, but the idea of what that night meant to him, and the idea of him being a public person, it touches on what we're talking about on a personal and public and every level that is possible. And it was really special for him to speak there and to share that. And it's the same idea of what you're sharing. And I think that existed for a lot of people that night, which was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, anything else that you want to include in this or want?
No, I think we've really touched on everything. My biggest thing when someone asks me a question that could be answered and shown to other people is to emphasize every single time that the project exists on a website. There's a whole library of interviews, of podcasts, of photos, that's going to be sharing where the project is going to exist in other galleries to come and everything. Like, to me, it's like, I can't say it enough. Go to theythemproject.org to see the project. Because if you're just going through Instagram and you're hitting the heart button to like a photo, you are not, sorry, but you're not helping the project.
Exactly.
That's not helping what this is about. The idea is that you go to the website, you see something for yourself, and then, like, to me, it's like the easiest concept, and I've tried to make it as simple as possible, you share it.
Yes.
Because if you share it, someone else will see it. If you don't, they won't. They won't see it. And every single time you see one of these photos, go and listen to the interview. Every time you hear the interview, share what you learned. Because there's nobody, no one, even who's a gender expert. Like,
yeah.
If there's somebody, a professor at the U who does gender studies, and they listen to any one of these interviews, they're going to learn something.
Absolutely.
Through any individual in this project. And there's no reason not to share that with other people. Because the thing that people need to listen, like what people need to listen to something, is for there to be a connection with why it's important to someone else, or for why it should be important to them. If you're friends with people on Facebook, supposedly they're your friends, they would want to know why this was important to you. If this interview or any of the interviews taught you something, that's a big deal. And you should want to share that with other people so that they can do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of information out there, and especially when people read on the internet, or like they say that they're a gender specialist. Like, I've had people who like told me that like identifying as non-binary, like gender queer, like trans, like they're really like, that's not a thing. You can't identify that way because this gender specialist. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Shouldn't we be challenging these things? Like, let's actually have a conversation and dive into why this is important. And having that connection is really important, because without that connection, it's basically just a bunch of words and information.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all the questions I have, actually, for you.
Did you know the best place to view the project is through the website, theythemproject.org? It's the only place you can see all the photos and videos and easily share the project to help it be seen and make a difference. In addition to the website, They Them Project is everywhere. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes and Google Play. Remember that the project grows and informs only when it is shared by people like you. Go to theythemproject.org and share what you see and hear.